Internet Talk Radio, Flame of the Internet.
This is Geek of the Week. We have with us Milo Medin, who is Deputy Project Manager of the NASA Science Internet Office. He also heads up engineering for NASA's NREN program. Those are a lot of titles, but basically when we think of NASA Science Internet, we think of Milo's Net. Milo's also an active participant in the Internet Engineering Task Force. He's worked a lot on OSPF and other standards. Milo, welcome to Geek of the Week.
Well, thank you, Carl. It's quite an interesting opportunity to participate in this new extension of multimedia capability
on
the Internet.
Adventure in broadcasting.
That's right.
I've got a couple questions about the NASA Science Internet and its relationship to the rest of the Internet. You're both part and a part of the Internet.
Right.
You're a mission-oriented network,
right,
and you're also the transit network for much of the Pacific Rim.
Right. We have cooperative relationships with a number of organizations. In general, we try and accomplish our job in such a way that we can benefit the overall infrastructure of the Internet as a whole, because we believe that there's no way we can go off and run point-to-point links to every place in the network. That's sort of counter to the Internet philosophy anyway. By going in and working with the people in a nation who are working on that nation's infrastructure, we can achieve higher levels of performance and connectivity at lower cost and make it, in general, better for our scientists and scientists for overall to be able to access.
Do you find the goals of the country might conflict with your goals as a mission-oriented network?
In some cases, that's there. In other cases, our requirements are such that sometimes we have to meet them via dedicated facilities. There's just no way that if we have a flight project, for example, who is pushing data near real-time capability, the Internet today, Internet technology in general, does not allow you to sort of have dedicated resources or bandwidth allotments. That's being worked on in R&D, on DARPA's DARTnet, and several organizations are working on things like that. But in general, it's sort of a free-for-all. Now, sometimes that works out quite well, and it's compatible with certain requirements, and sometimes it's not. But I think the federal government as a whole tries to take the approach that we want to build up the infrastructure overall, and that will, in the end, be better off for all of our needs, mission and non-mission requirements as well.
Do you expect some of these clients of yours, countries, for example, mm-hmm. to migrate over to alternative carriers, to commercial nets in the future? Are you a transition path for them?
Well, I'm not the carrier for countries per se. For example, in PACOM, we're part of that consortium. And we get things out of that. Other people get things out of that. We act as their sort of gateway to the Internet, to the general purpose Internet as a whole, it's true. But that's not different than the role that NSF or DOE play in other arenas. I think if the Internet really becomes a public data network in the true sense of the word, something that equals Telenet or something like that, or surpasses it in capability, but it's being used that way, then I think, in general, the mission agency networks will become much more private and not have to go off and pull capability to places. The overall structure of the public data network will be at the level that our own networks won't have to be as large. We can concentrate on those particular requirements which need special links. And I think if everything is successful, then that will greatly decrease in the future. On the other hand, there are a lot of issues which will make it difficult for the Internet to expand into that global sort of public data network vision. And we have a job to do. So the question is how to meet that job, how to meet the requirements that we have in the most cost-effective way as possible, and trying to do it in a way which is as cooperative and as beneficial to the science and research community overall. We are not in the business of trying to compete with Sprint or anybody else. It's not the role of the federal government. But we have a lot of expertise, and we have certain requirements that are basically very difficult to meet right now on the general purpose structure.
I've noticed that the National Science Foundation places certain restrictions on the type of data that goes over their network, an appropriate
right.
use policy.
Right.
Energy Sciences has their own AUP policy,
right.
as does NASA Science Internet.
Right.
Are those policies consistent with each other, and if not, how do we handle that?
In general, they're consistent with each other. There's an agreement between the agencies to sort of pass traffic for each other on sort of a quid pro quo basis. Most of those interactions occur at the fixes, the two fix points where the federal agencies interconnect to each other. But in general, for example, NSF can use our link to the Antarctic. In fact, that's a link that was put in place with the Polar Programs people at NSF in exchange for us using their connectivity to Cornell University, for example. And so the federal government is – this is one of the rather unique examples of tight cooperation in the federal government. Most of the time you'll end up with agencies duplicating things quite a bit. And in general, I think we've had a remarkable amount of cooperation, mostly due to, I think, the personalities and the sort of the common viewpoints that people at the headquarters level share.
It's been cooperation among agencies and also cooperation among the agencies towards a common vision.
Right.
Is this an example of an industrial policy? Is this been one of the few examples maybe in the U.S. government of that happening?
As a civil service employee, I certainly couldn't comment on policy like that.
Well, there you have it. You mentioned the FIX, the Federal Internet Exchange.
Right.
Currently there's a movement for something called the Global Internet Exchange, a neutral place where anybody can connect to and basically peer with any other network.
Right.
Can you explain maybe the difference between a FIX and a GIX and
Well, it's in, you know, the FIXes, first off, you know, the FIXes are connection points between the major federal R&D networks. Those are relatively few in number, okay? The architecture of the FIX, where everybody peers with each other directly, is not an architecture that can scale. That is to say, you can't have 20 people all peering with everybody else and doing that kind of thing effectively. It becomes a management nightmare to configure and make sense of all that. The GICSes, I think, are trying to do things in a somewhat more distributed fashion and allow greater amounts of carriers and organizations to connect to each other in a environment where they can sort of hand traffic off to each other in an internet, primarily for an international flavor, but you could look at them as sort of NAPs on a global scale, the NSF.
No, I still don't understand concept. Why a GICS wouldn't have the same scaling problem that a FIX would have.
I think that some people have talked about putting route servers or people not necessarily peering with each other. If you typically have a situation where international networks are more interested in getting data that's in the U.S. and not necessarily from each other. If you look at the overall traffic figures, for example, of how much, you know, say Thailand talks to Australia compared to how much Thailand talks to the U.S. and Australia talks to the U.S., I think you'll find that the overwhelming amount of traffic is going to a certain set of autonomous systems, if you want to look at it, the NSF backbone or something like that. If you're in the federal environment, think the sort of load mix is much more diverse. So you can optimize in the GICS case by reducing the amount of peering you have, and depending on sort of third-party peering or route servers or something like that to minimize that. I think there are significant management issues which are going to end up having to be dealt with GICSes, and it's not clear to me that those things are going to be easy to solve. But we'll see. You know, it's one of those things.
Now, you mentioned one other concept, which is a NAP, the network access point.
Right.
How does that compare to GIXs and FIXs?
Well, I think the concept of a NAP, as defined by sort of what NSF's vision of where they're going, at least in my mind, is a sort of an interconnection point for networks that's basically AUP-free, but there's something called a route server there, which acts as sort of the brain that the sort of NSFnet routers do today, but this route server isn't actually a network. It doesn't move data from one point to the other. Everybody sends its sends it routes. It digests them and sends back a consistent set of routing information to the people who are peering with it. And
that sounds just like a GIX, though, doesn't it?
Well, I think the concept of the GIX is that people actually peer with each other, and that there's not central sort of routing policy source on a GIX, whereas on an app, it's the idea is that there's somebody there that everybody can talk to, and so the relationships are not N squared. It's everybody's peering with one, and that in turn redistributes the information around. It's the same sort of thing we do in routing algorithms, right? If you're on an Ethernet and you're running a link state routing protocol, you could model that Ethernet as a series of point-to-point connections between all the routers there. Or you can sort of abstract it by talking to a centralized routing agent which redistributes things. And those things are called designated routers in both the ISIS and in the OSPF routing protocol. So it's the same sort of thing. You deal with it by trying to consolidate the routing interchanges so you don't have that kind of random or widespread routing interaction.
You're listening to Geek of the Week. Support for this program is provided by O'Reilly and Associates, recognized worldwide for definitive books on the Internet, Unix, the X-Windows system, and other technical topics. Additional support for Geek of the Week comes from Sun Microsystems. Sun, the network is the computer.